A real estate professional with Century 21 Select, specializing in properties in Chico and Butte Meadows, Patrick is dedicated to helping buyers and sellers achieve their real estate goals with kind, quality service. Patrick can be reached at 530-588-6593, or you can find Patrick on Facebook. We got a big show for you today. Got a lot of stuff to cover. An aggressive amount, one might say. But we're up to the challenge, right? We got this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got it.
We got it.
All right. Well, then, you know what? Stepman Brad, let's start the show.
Yes, sir.
We talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Y'all know the drill. We are talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I am your co-host, Jerome Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isomaki.
What's good, party people?
Our resident degenerate, Rude Dog, is out ducking his bookie yet again, man.
Classic Rudy.
Classic Rudy.
Probably got all the draft orders all wrong.
Yeah, he definitely. Why would you take the under when Clippers, Mavs? Just a horrible choice, bud.
Never predict trades, man.
Yeah.
Never predict them.
Yeah. So he's out, but we got our producer extraordinaire, the only homeowner out of this group, Stepman Brad.
Yeah!
Congrats to you, bro.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's been nice. I mean, going through escrow right now, so I haven't officially gotten it. But
we're
in the process.
You're there. Yeah.
In the process.
I mean, you signed
the
paperwork?
We've signed a lot of paperwork.
Money's out of the account?
Good portions of,
okay.
out of it. Not a whole bunch, but...
Well, I mean, not everything, but at least, like, your money's gone.
I got a good chunk of change still need to go. But
okay.
Yeah,
all right. Okay. All right. So, It's only man with a roof over his head and walls around him. Lucky guy.
Yeah.
Well, we all technically have that. We just don't own it.
Can't do anything if you want to it. You can tear down those walls and roof if
that's
you wanted
right.
to.
Yeah.
You
know?
There's a couple walls we're looking to knock down.
There you go. Right. See? Walls already coming down in the family.
Once again, congrats, bro.
Thank you.
That's big news, dude. All right, we have NFL draft. We have a walk around the bases with Derek Foot and Mouth, our foreign correspondent, with a hockey update, I'm guessing. Forgot to text her. I got busy today. Your boy had a food poisoning this morning.
Ooh.
So I'm pretty sure I'm like 3 or 4 pounds less
lighter.
Weight.
Lighter.
Lighter, yes. AKA lighter, also known as I'm lighter. So that's good. But this morning was a personal hellscape. But I'm here now.
Hey, glad you made it through, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Better on the other side.
It is.
You know? Yeah.
It is. Going through it, my biggest fear in life, irrational fear, is getting food poisoning on an airplane. Oftentimes before a flight, I will not eat because of that fear. I'd rather be just about anywhere than on a plane.
Is it because, like, there's the limited bathroom?
That's exactly why it is. Yeah.
Fair.
Limited bathroom. I don't want to be in the bathroom the whole time. And, you know, usually it's coming out of both ends when you're when you have food poisoning, as it was for me. We don't need to get any more graphic than that. But just being on an airplane in that scenario, having the sweats and all that, just sounds like a miserable time.
You're a marked man, too, if you go into the bathroom more than once, I feel.
Facts.
On an airplane.
Facts. Everyone's watching you.
Yeah, 100%. You go up and down that aisle more than once, and especially, you know, and then nobody likes you anymore.
That's why if you're that guy, you should always be getting those back seats.
Yeah, but how would you know? You know what?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
You don't know.
You don't plan on having food poisoning.
But
if you do, I guess, if you are...
You are that guy that has that... Those movements all the time.
Yeah, now I'm talking about actual food poisoning and being on an airplane stuck in a tube in the air. It's just my worst fear of all time.
I mean, but you're already flying, which is against, like, physics. Like, we're not supposed to fly.
No.
Like, we're not designed to, and we're flying.
And you're certainly not supposed to have food poisoning whilst
Well, I mean, flying. Food poisoning is just a natural hazard of life. Like we've had, yeah. You know, you have to find out what you can and can't eat.
Well, fortunately,
and you can't eat what you had last night. Yeah, yeah. Got it the hard way.
Fortunately for me, though, I had it on the ground in my house, and but you know, we played through injuries, unlike our boy Rude Dog. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into some sports. NBA playoffs is alive and well in most series, at least are alive and well. One series in particular is done. The Phoenix Suns find themselves the first team out of the playoffs after a sweep by an Anthony Edwards-led Minnesota Timberwolves. I guess are they the Timberwolves still? They're just Minnesota Wolves now, huh?
I think that Wolves was just a throwback uni they pulled out, which is glorious. But I'm pretty sure they're still considered the Timberwolves.
Okay.
I mean, they wish to pull out some more throwback unis, but...
Yeah, okay.
Timberwolves, so, I believe they still are.
So the T-Wolves.
Well, Minnesota.
On NBA.
They are the Timberwolves.
Okay, yeah.
So there you go. All right. Yeah. Minnesota Timberwolves.
I mean, it could be the Minnesota godforsaken land, but, you know, Minnesota nonetheless.
Minnesota's a beautiful place.
Actually. I mean, it is, but they don't win championships.
No, they don't.
It's too nice of a place.
They did.
Too beautiful of a land.
That's right.
Too many lakes.
That's right.
You have way too many lakes for a championship.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're right.
I mean, cap at like 99,000.
Exactly.
Actually, it's 10,000. So
9,999.
Yeah, 9,999. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I got you.
One over.
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry.
For yeah, that's why. Sorry, that's why they don't have a championship. You know? Too pretty. And Derek's rules are: the more deserving you are, the uglier and trashier your city.
Yes. Yeah, it's got to be a tough place to live.
Yeah.
Now I'm not denying that like living in the cold is tough, but like those people are designed for it.
Fair enough.
They lived in it.
Fair enough.
You know.
So Ant sends KD, Booker, and Beal packing, sweeping them. We said this offseason going into this year, one of the things we were looking forward to was seeing Anthony Edwards develop. And I'm telling you, if you're a casual observer of the NBA, or maybe you used to be into hoops a lot, but you haven't been, you've been disenfranchised with the resting healthy players, which, by the way, has gone down significantly since they changed the rules. KD played the most games he's played in, I think, 6 years or so, 4 years? I forgot. Something like that. Kawhi, Kyrie, all these guys started to play a lot more this past year and stay a lot more healthy. But KD going home at the hands of Anthony Edwards, and the point I was trying to make is we were talking about this guy's development and that being one of the things we were looking forward to this season. And just he's the dude. He's the guy. As far as American superstars are concerned, he's probably number one for that younger crop of players. He's probably that number one guy that you could build not only a franchise around, but you could start to really market this guy and build the league around him. Incredible interview. An even better basketball player.
He's putting on a show every single time he's on the court.
Yes.
He is greatness, what you want to see when you're watching the game.
Yeah.
And that's something, again, I've always said, when I'm watching the game, no matter what, I want to see greatness, whether the side I'm rooting for. I just want to see something spectacular that you're not going to usually see. And Anthony Edwards gives you that potential every single time he's on the court.
He's must-see TV. And there's not... In the days of all these three-pointers and stuff, I would say there's less of those high-flying players that we want to see, and he's one of them. He's a throwback. He's getting a lot of comparisons to Kobe and MJ, which I would say I could see it, but like let's just let the man just be himself for a little bit. He's 22, guys.
I mean, he has more of that mid-game mentality.
Yes.
That was what was so prevalent in our era and what we loved and what we grew up in, like, again, a Kobe Bryant, the MJ world. But that team as a whole is honestly kind of perfect for him as they're built, because they do have that toughness about them as well. They're built like that 90s, that early 2000s team. They're going to play a tough defense. He plays tough defense, yep. Anthony Edwards does. Yep. He is willing to play on the defensive end of the court, which is just a beautiful thing to see, which you don't see very often.
And obviously attack the rim, because that dunk last night, again, filthy to basically wrap that game. That was the last thing I saw before I left the house to do radio last night.
My knees and hips hurt every single time I watch him play. It's just like, do it, my man. I'm glad someone can, because I am definitely not anywhere near that ability. And again, like, that team is just has a certain dogginess about them where they're going to give you you cannot score against them. They're tough, too. I mean, they're all pretty big out there. I mean, Rudy Gobert is getting he gets his tomatoes thrown at him, and rightfully so. Just, Mr. COVID starter and just French dude, Ugh. But that being said, he's doing something. Mm-hmm. He's still tough. He's tough to score against in the paint. He's going to be there. He's a body that you have to worry about. So, Shouts to the Wolves, and yeah, I think winning their first playoff series really since the KG era when they went to the Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it's their first one in, what, 20 years, something like that?
They needed that, you know? Yeah.
I would say, we talked about this a while back. My big concern for this team was, will Cat be able to defer? Because Ant is the superstar on that team. Ant is who that ball needs to go through, who your offense needs to run through. And so far, it looks like Cat has kind of acquiesced to realizing, like, this guy's that guy, right?
It's hard to deny it.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to.
Yeah.
Just because of the presence that he is when he's on the court and the style that he plays with. He has a certain ferocity about him that Cat will never be able to come close to. I mean, Cat is like a very, he's like a house cat, you know? Just kind of,
Yeah.
He's nimble. He's out there, but he's not like, he doesn't have that dog, you know?
Yeah.
And you need that dog if you want to win.
And Ant is that dog.
Ant's that dog.
You got something for us?
Yeah, I was going to say, going back to the KD thing, so he played 75 games this year. It's the first time he played more than 70 games since the 18-19 season with the Warriors when he played 78. So,
yeah. Ducking games right there. Oh, man.
So
disgusting.
Since then, it's 35, all right. 55, 47, 39, and then 8. Last year with it was 47 as well. He split between Brooklyn and
that's Phoenix. Right.
I forgot about that.
So just going back to Ant real quick. Last night, 40 points, 9 boards, 6 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal in 41 minutes. 7 from 10 from the field, 7 for 13 from 3, scored 16 points in the fourth quarter. That dude's a problem. I will say, and we've talked about it before, Kevin Durant, depending how the next 3-4 years of his career goes, because he is 36 years old now, he's going to go down as one of the greatest what-ifs in the history of the NBA. The guy has not got past he's not been to a conference finals since leaving the Warriors in 2019. The Warriors obviously won a championship without him in 2021. He is 13-17 in the postseason since leaving the Warriors. And not say, obviously, I'm a Warriors fan, right? So there's obviously some bias, and you would have, you know, it's hard not to wonder of what could have been had he stayed for another year or two. It's just very interesting because his decisions, you know, he went to go play with Kyrie and then bring in James Harden. That became a debacle. Now he went to go start another, quote unquote, super team down in Phoenix. That's been a debacle so far. Now, granted, they just got together this year. Bradley Beal was injured when he got there. But to get swept in the first round when you got three dudes making $50 million a year is kind of alarming. And so I don't want to do the show of where's KD going to end up next year. We are going to have all summer to speculate. And that's for July. We'll get into all that stuff. I've already had a couple friends of mine ask me, what do you think about KD back to the Warriors? We're going to get to all that. But that's called July, around All-Star break in baseball. It's typically when we have those shows. But let's keep it pushing because I do want to talk a little more hoops. We got a bunch of stuff to cover. Harden finally shows up. He's been showing up in this series. He's been a playoff laughingstock. There's so many meltdowns, it's almost hard to even count. The biggest of them being when, there's so many. But missing 27 straight threes against the Warriors at home, Game 7 was giant. But even at Brooklyn, it's countless, right? But this year he seems to come to play. That series against Mavs, Clippers, tied 2-2. It's been a really fun series. At one point yesterday I saw Playoff P actually make an appearance for maybe the first time. Actually, he's had a couple good games in this series. But
he's always there, just sometimes he's dormant, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A flash is always going to happen. Some type of hot spot, you know.
But I think Paul George hit the biggest shot in his career to this point with that sidestep three yesterday to kind of put that game, or at least take the lead back, I should say. That game changed leads, I want to say, 4 or 5 times in the last 3 minutes. The Clippers were up 32 points in that game. Dallas comes all the way back. Clippers go back up 11. Dallas comes all the way back to take the lead, and then it went back and forth throughout the end of that game. And that series has been insanity. And who it looks like whoever advances, it's going to be a long series. Then you have to go play the Young Bucks in OKC, which is not going to be fun. But this series has been really interesting. It's been a lot of fun. Luka's been balling. Kyrie hit one of the most incredible layups I've ever seen yesterday.
He's kind of poetry in the air.
Yeah, it's insane.
It is disgusting how his body control and his ability just to be able to get the shot up no matter what.
Yep.
And it's just a beautiful lay.
In my opinion, and granted, I saw Michael Jordan play, but I was a kid, right? So a modern, like my experience has been, he's got the best finishing package around the rim that I've seen, you know, as a player I've got to watch in my adult life. He's just absolutely filthy. If you get a chance, go back and look at that highlight. It's absolutely insane. He just floats in the air. I saw one tweet that said, if Kyrie played in the 1960s and did this play, they scientists would have to like pull him out and experiment to see what he's on and like run some studies to see if he's an alien. I don't know why I said that, and I did a really poor job.
If
doing
he was
that.
Dropped in the 1960s, he would further race relations. It'd be tougher for the white man to accept them because he's just too different.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
There you go.
Eloquent.
Yeah. Thank you. Your Lakers.
Poop soup.
Well, here's the interesting
part. I
mean,
you got one.
You got one, but you've led in this series 129 minutes to 41 minutes, and you're down 3-1.
Again, that's just, I think the Nuggets are just toying with them. They typically are right now. They're okay being behind. They have no problem playing from behind. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy to play from behind when you do have pretty much the best all-around basketball player who doesn't give two hoots about playing basketball on your team, and when he decides to play basketball, it's disgusting. It's impossible to stop. He makes all the right passes. He does all the right moves, and he has the most beautiful touch around the rim as well. It doesn't have to be around the rim. He still has a beautiful touch, and no matter what the Lakers do, they cannot stop him. And got to give a shout out to Anthony Davis. He has not been an issue. He's been playing his ass off.
Yeah, he has.
He's been doing his thing. And, I mean, LeBron James is incredible. The fact that he is 39 years old, yeah, been at this thing for 21 years, and is still putting up points that he's doing right now, which is just, it's otherworldly.
It is.
But still not enough. The Lakers team, the bench is just not deep enough.
Jamal Murray is supposed to be out for tonight, so you could potentially make this interesting.
I would say if you get one more, don't let them get one more. I would say Denver, don't let us get one more on you.
Well, because you really don't want to be playing Game 7 at home, you know.
You want to wrap this up tonight. Denver. Don't extend this more than you have to, just because no matter what, the bench, as good as it is not, it has a potential to strike one of these seven games, and then Anthony Davis and LeBron can carry them another one. So there's your two games that you need right there to get it to a seven-game series. So I just don't do that, Denver. If you don't want to, if you want to get past us, don't lose tonight. Not going to say they're going to win. It's just, you're going to hurt yourself in the process because you clearly are the better team out there. But you don't want to tire yourself out. This is going to be a long playoffs no matter what, because that OKC team is young. They got fresh legs, and they can hoop.
Yeah, and the winner of this series would play Minnesota, who's playing
another tough one. I'm sorry. Still tough. No matter what, the hill you're getting is getting tough.
And they're resting.
It's getting exponentially tougher right now because as much as people want to say the Lakers are going to be good, they're not that good. They really have a lot of holes in that team, and they're depending on a 39-year-old again. Not to say that, granted, this is the most special breed of 39-year-old that has ever been created and crafted by man, but he is still 39.
Nonetheless, yep.
But still, to your point with the whole Denver thing going Game 7, looking forward to that OKC matchup in the championships, if both teams make it there, you do not want to go more than where they're at right now, especially then you're going to be playing a young team with Minnesota. You don't want to take them into a 6 or 7-game series, because then if you play OKC, like you said, young team, fresh legs, not going to be pretty.
I mean, this Denver team, you're good. It's very good. Just, put them away. Put the Lakers away tonight if you really want to have this run. I mean, it's not to say you're not going to win it. It's just it gets very tough after this. It's not going to be easy. Hey, this is just kind of showcase the West, how deep it is right now.
The West is incredibly deep. I mean, you put those teams at the bottom of the West in the play-in games in the East, and any one of those teams I could see making a conference finals run. And it wouldn't surprise me. Real quick, New York's back. The Knicks are back. They're looking to finish off Philly later this week. And I just want to say how fun it is to have that obnoxious New York crowd back in our lives in the NBA.
Now, it is a delicious thing when New York is playing well. It's a certain, they are the one fan base that I want to have around as much as I hate them. For this sport in particular.
Yeah.
I mean, New York fans have a special place in American sports culture. And there's a certain...
I thought you were going to say they have a special place in hell.
That too.
That too. Yeah, exactly. They are right there. They're next to all the other fan bases too, you know? But that being said, there's a special place out there for them. And the Knicks in basketball in particular have been dormant for too long. And this is finally a legitimate team that they can get behind right now because they have a team that plays just a nasty brand of a basketball out there that's just willing. They do so much dirty work out there. They're rebounding for what they... Josh Hart out there is getting ridiculous amounts of rebounds for being who he is right now. He has this fun stat line out there every night. And the dude just does dirty work. So shouts to this team that's willing to just grime it out and suck at Philadelphia. This is what you get. This is what you get, Philadelphia, for this joke of, again, your franchise, your city. Ugh, God, it's so tough being around to have this in the American sports culture right now. Now, I get it that we never really got a chance to talk about the Allen Iverson statue, but I have to bring it up right now. I know this is in this area in which that's all the statues look like, but that's the most pathetic statue I've ever seen
in
my life.
Sad.
The whole statue thing is all pathetic. That whole garden they have of miniature statues, it's like bonsai statues.
Yep.
Okay, get a real one of the guy. I want a life more than a life size figure of the guy. Okay, I want a mammoth one built of him stepping over Tyrone. That's all you got to do. Yep. All you got to do, Philadelphia, and I have some respect for you as a sports city, but no, this is what you do. You let the New Yorkers come in, take over that arena, and make it a home game.
That's what happens when you make a fictional sports character in Rocky, a bigger statue than a Hall of Famer Allen Iverson. I went off about this on the show already,
okay.
So I'm not going to do it again, but just unbelievable.
And I feel like there are certain teams in each sport that for it to be healthy, you have to have this specific team be good or be relevant.
I don't know about healthy, but I know what you mean.
There's a
certain level of hype that comes with the New York Knicks being relevant in the postseason. So it is fun to see. We'll see what happens there. But it looks like they'll be advancing. Let's move on because we got a lot of stuff to cover. I want to get into baseball here in a minute. I do want to talk about the NFL draft. Just a couple quick things. Obviously, the biggest talk around the NFL draft, of course, is what the Atlanta Falcons did. And that's just like, it's so Falcony of them to make that move. So what they did is they signed... they signed your man, Kirk Cousins, in the offseason. And then...
$180 million.
And then in the first round, they took Michael Penix Jr.
Smart.
Which Brilliant. Seems...
Yeah, top 10 pick, right?
That's correct. I think he was number 8, right?
Number 8,
I want to say.
Yeah.
Top 10
Listen
pick.
Up, kids. Oops. Listen up, kids. Don't trust the Falcons.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. You cannot... under any circumstance, trust the Falcons.
As Jerome has always said, don't trust Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, like they have so many issues that Jerome loves to bring up.
Nice. Yeah, I can't go all season long and say don't trust the Falcons and pick them in the Super Bowl.
that would be great, I feel.
I can't pick Atlanta just because all year long, since I think week 3 or 4, I've been saying don't trust Atlanta on this show. So it's not just that. They have had a history of being untrustworthy. And so until they won the Super Bowl, I'm going to continue to say don't trust the Falcons. And if you're betting out there, take New England. That's our number one rule around this show is don't trust the Falcons and don't math on air. And I actually like the move. Because I like to be a contrarian, and where I see this being a good move is Michael Penix has had four season-ending injuries. That doesn't bode well. Had it not been for the injuries, he's probably the number two pick in this draft. He's got the best deep ball out of everyone. He loves to sling it down the field. Atlanta's got weapons. If you bring him up under Kirk Cousins for a couple of years, the guy stays healthy. Let's say you get five, 6 good years out of this guy. You're looking down the future because let's not forget why Kirk Cousins was available. He tore his Achilles midway through the season. He gets the 49ers last year.
And he's 36 years old.
Yeah, so
that's not good.
He's not your future. Yeah. He's a stopgap. And hopefully, I mean, the hope is that he can make you relevant, get you some playoff wins, and maybe even a Super Bowl appearance. But you got to think down the road. And the fact that Kirk Cousins made it known publicly that he was upset with the pick is hilarious to me, and it's a bad look for him.
I mean, I've honestly thought the hoopla was much ado about nothing. Ugh, wow, there we go. Yeah, that whole thing. Yeah, they're going to do what you're going to do. You're going to look for the future no matter what.
Yep.
That's what your job is as this team, this organization. Now, sure, you're paying Kirk Cousins a lot of money right now, but you've effectively got him for, I think, like 2 years, essentially.
Yep.
And then after that, 2 years, getting Michael Penix some time right now. And again, torn Achilles, 36 years old. Old dude playing quarterback, okay? It could happen at any point in time that guy goes down, all right? So you need something to back him up. And Michael Penix Jr., again, has a cannon of an arm right now. You got to do something with what you got, and you got a lot around you right now. So Atlanta, I'm not going to say you did a good thing. You probably could have traded down and so kept around Michael, could have kept Michael Penix around there a little bit closer. But again, gotten something for that, you know, get a little capital action right there. But no, you still went for it. Hey, do what you got to do. Too much action was going on about that, I think, and it's just because I think the idea of, oh, you did Kirk dirty. It's like, no, they didn't. Kirk, they got to do what they got to do.
You know what the thing is
Kirk's got his money.
I can understand Kirk being upset because it's like, I don't have that many years left. Let's build a championship roster. Go get me an edge rusher. Get me another wide receiver. Because that team is loaded with weapons. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. They do have the weapons.
There wasn't defensive players out there, though, on this draft.
There wasn't.
It was a very lax on the defensive player front. I don't think anything happened.
Well, the GM's job is to build to save his to build for the future, to win now, but also build for the future, and to save his own job and have some job security. Best way to do that is get a young quarterback. That's how all these teams that have been championship teams, many of them built around a cheap rookie quarterback. Now, obviously, that's not what they're doing. They just gave $180 million to Kirk Cousins. But if you think that you got something here and he was the best player on the board, I have no problem with it.
Isn't he what they have him for the first 5 years until they have to go for an extension?
Yep. I think it's a good move.
Kurt's gone by that point in time,
for
right?
For sure. Yeah. For sure. He's 36.
Yeah.
Dude. Unless he pulls a Tom Brady, but, you know, again, Tom Brady was the best.
Torn Achilles right now. And no offense, but Kirk Cousins is not the type of guy that I think, like, he's going to come back from that type of injury.
Agreed.
I don't really see it. I'm sorry. Agreed. I think he'll be fine. Give me him a year, but if you get a full year out of him, happy for you guys, Atlanta, but you did well.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Let's see. Let's take a quick break, actually. The Niners drafted White Boy Rick. That should be fun. Parasol from Florida should be fun. I hope they're not getting rid of Brandon Ayuk. I wanted to talk to Rudy about it. Again, he's ducking his bookies, so maybe we'll get into it next week.
Also, did you hear about David Tepper and his
taking off the hat? Or
the hat of the restaurant owner. Yeah. Classic Tepper right there.
I'm so sorry for you.
It sucks.
It really sucks. I mean, the crazy thing is you had an owner in Jerry Richardson who was an egomaniac and sexually harassing his staff and had a hostile workplace environment and may have been the better of the two owners.
He cared about winning football. He was a football guy. Guys are just a little handsy sometimes, okay? You know what that's it to do, all right? My man was a fullback out there, Jerry Richardson, but no, we got to bring in David Tepper, who's just
throwing drinks on fans.
He's rich. White guy privileged right there. That's just it's disgusting.
Yeah.
All right. At least, you know, old guy, you know, I earned it to a certain degree right there. You know, a little tough nose, a little grime, a little hitting some people in the head, a little grab ass in the office. Yeah. But no, we got Tepper now.
I don't know that any of those are great qualities, but
they're not.
No, they're not. None of them's good right now. But
it was better than what you had somehow.
Yeah,
which is kind of my point.
We went to at least two Super Bowls.
It's true.
Which is shocking to think about that you guys actually did that.
Hey, Jake Delhomme, Steve Smith, Musin Muhammad.
Yeah. Mm,
that's a tasty trio.
And that
right
team
there.
With that was led by Cam, his MVP season.
Was.
Remember, they left. They lost their best wide receiver, or who they thought was going to be their best wide receiver, before the season started, and they went 15-1. It's still hard to imagine that that happened.
We just had a that unfortunate defense of the Broncos, and that
yeah,
was
tough.
Was just their disgusting.
That was
defense.
A hard team,
and the carcass of Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning,
yeah.
I mean, he just happened to play off the right teams because we had a good defense too in the Carolina.
Yeah, sure
terrible walk down memory lane. Sorry, people don't care about that.
Yeah,
I do though.
All right, let's take a break.
Tepper, no.
As always, we are talking about practice. Dro, Derek, Stepman, Brad in the building. We're coming to you live at FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico People Powered Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Want to give a shout out to our friends and partners over at The Printed Image, providing screen printing and custom embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. Big shout out to our guy Frank. He wrote in. He wanted a couple tees. We're actually working on getting him some t-shirts. And so for all our listeners, we are in the process of that right now. We're getting different quotes. We're trying to figure out what the best quality product is, where we get the most bang for our buck. So that is in the works. But we'll have something for y'all coming up. So that'll be cool. You had something?
Sorry, I probably should turn on my mic.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah, no. No, this is more of a question for the listeners. Is it going to be the same old logo, or are we getting something a little bit
well,
different?
Well, when you put it like that, that's... Is it the same old?
Is it the same
piece of bleep logo?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I was like,
is it the same damn shirts we already had?
Is it the logo that I got tattooed on my back, or
that's
is it going to be something different?
But now that you mention it, maybe we should change the logo. Yes, it's
you
the
also
same
need
one.
To get tattooed as well.
Yeah,
so.
You're right. You're correct.
So many things I need to be fulfilled in this world right now that we've not done.
Yeah, no. That's correct.
Yeah, looking at you, Rudy. Once again, ducking out. He's supposed to pay up today, too.
He was supposed to take you out to dinner.
Yeah.
Oh,
and now he's not.
No,
that's
he's not.
What.
Yeah.
I bet you. Mm.
This guy over here.
Man.
This is the worst, you know?
Absolute worst.
It's terrible.
No one's word means less around here.
And we take him for gambling advice.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
The least accountable guy. If we're like, hey, tell us how to spend our
money.
And
that's probably the guy you want the most in your corner to tell you how to do it. But,
yeah.
With how many times he ducks his bookie,
I mean, the least surprising thing was him telling me to invest in Bitcoin. I was just like, okay, bro, no one. Come on, man.
You're about 20 years too late.
If only it was like, 10 years ago and you had some Bitcoin.
It just seems
to buy.
Like a crypto, bro.
He is, you know? Yeah. He's very cryptic in his ways.
He
I feel
sure
like he'd be
is.
Like a Dogecoin type of a guy.
Huh. Let's do some breaking news. Let's get Aaron on the phone. Let's do a hockey update. We got to do a walk around the bases, North State update. We got all sorts of stuff. But let's start with some news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. It's time for the news. Keep it simple for you. One and done. Because this is an important one for all you Midwest folks out there. Get ready. Why? because the cicadas are coming. Cicadas are coming right now. And these ones are special. We have two.
Tell me about
two broods of cicadas coming out. This does not happen very often. This is a very once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you Midwesterners to see the new billions and trillions of cicadas to emerge from the ground and provide us with their hypersexual admittance and needs. That is right. These zombie cicadas, they're being called, are infected with a sexually transmitted fungus that makes them hypersexual. What does that mean? More cicadas! Now, this is something that happens every 13 to 17 years. And this year, we're getting two broods of them coinciding, which will be one of the largest ever. I feel like I say this every year, that this is a new brood of cicadas, and they're the biggest that's ever happened. So, it sucks to be in the Midwest, because every single time, it seems like you're just getting bombarded with cicadas.
Yep.
And, it's one of the things I'm happy I don't live in the Midwest for. You know, don't want to have to deal with tornadoes.
Don't want to deal with snow.
Can't live in the snow. I'm glad to visit every once in a while, but can't live in the snow. Yep. I'll take my earthquakes. And apparently earthquakes aren't just a West Coast thing anymore. Sorry, East Coast, you got those too. But for us, I'll take my fires and earthquakes. You know?
I'm with you.
One I can see coming, the other one, you feel it when it's there.
Yep.
That's the news, y'all.
Very good.
I probably should have kept going a little longer because we're still trying to get
in. No, we got it.
No, we're good. We're good. That's your news, y'all. So careful of the cicadas. Stay indoors, and apparently they make a terrible noise. Yeah, not fun noise.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sorry, Midwesterners. Your summer suck even more.
I mean, I'm sure they're used to it at this point.
Yeah, they're probably just like...
Especially with... I mean, this happens at least twice a generation.
This is a special breed, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zombies.
Once in a lifetime. Yeah, zombies.
Yeah.
Sex zombies.
Wow.
Yeah, sex zombies, cicadas.
That would absolutely be the name of the pod if we were still doing the pod right now.
It would also be the name of, like, feel of a 1950s horror movie.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, sex zombies.
I was thinking
cicadas.
More of a 1980s, like...
Grindhouse flick?
Yeah.
It's like a double feature or something with...
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bring on a foreign correspondent. Each and every week, we bring on our foreign correspondent to cover the sports we didn't pay enough attention to. And so we're going to do that now. Allow me to introduce everyone or bring back our friend, Aaron. Hello.
How's it going, guys?
We're doing pretty great. You know, usually on these days, I reach out to you and I ask, you know, kind of what you're watching, what you want to talk about. I neglected to do that today. So we're just going to do a little pre-production on the air. What are we talking? I'm assuming hockey. What else?
Yeah,
anything?
Yeah. I felt like I didn't need to text you either because I got to a point and I was like, we're talking hockey, right?
Okay, that's what I figured.
Fuck yeah.
The playoffs have been awesome. I've been watching this new thing that we have where you can put on multiple games on ESPN.
Beautiful.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And you can bounce through it and pick a certain game. It's awesome. So I got NBA playoffs. I got the Stanley Cup playoffs. Everything going at the same time. It was a total overload this weekend, and it was awesome. So wherever you want to go with hockey, the court is yours.
Well, I guess we can start with your team, the Panthers.
Yeah.
They are looking pretty good. They are leading in their game right now at the end of the second.
Good.
They were kind enough to let the Lightning win one, but... they've looked very dominant in their series. I'll be surprised if they don't wrap it up tonight. We've already got one series wrapped up. The Rangers swept the Capitals. I don't know if that was such a surprise because the Rangers have looked great this season. I think everyone says they're going to go far. But, you know, the Capitals are still one of the best hockey teams kind of in recent history, and to get swept is pretty shocking. Most of our American teams are looking pretty good. The Bruins are up on the Maple Leafs 3-1. We got the Predators up on the Canucks 3-1. The Kings are up on the Oilers 3-1. My team, the Avalanche, also up on the Jets 3-1. So really proud of these Americans. They're really holding it down for us. I'm so happy.
I'm happy for you. Your Lance are looking good. Yeah.
They dropped game one, but they've won three in a row pretty resoundingly. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I think you guys got a good chance to make a deep run here. But yeah, obviously, I've been pulling for the Panthers all season. I'm hoping they can finally finish off their rival in the Lightning tonight after letting Saturday's game slip away. They got kind of rocked, actually. They played a good second period, but their first and their third period, they gave up 6 goals, and that's going to be a tough one. You got anything else for us on the playoffs?
No, but it's looking good. I'm happy.
Okay. Let's do some bad life advice then while we got you, if that's all right with you.
Sounds good.
All right. Let's go here, and we're changing a bunch of things, guys, so I'm going to open this up to make it a little easier to get in touch with us here in the next couple weeks. So everything's a little more centralized. You can still hit us up on Instagram, TBP Not a Game. If you have the email, you could still email. I'm not putting out my personal email again because I get enough questions that aren't really relevant to the show. So it's a lot to filter through. But let's start with this one. This one reads, "Is She the One?" is the title of the email. TBP, what's up, boys, and what's up, Aaron? Former D1 tennis player representing here.
Wow. Diversity, I love it.
Big fan of the show. I've been listening for 5 years. I'm writing in for some dating advice. I'm 31 years old, and over the past 3 years, just about all my friends from my core group have gotten married. I have been so focused on my career that I haven't made much time for dating since starting in this role. However, over the past 6 months, I started seeing a new young lady who checks all the boxes. She's attractive, hardworking, funny, and has a good job. She enjoys smoking weed, which is a big plus for me. She does, however, have a 6-year-old daughter. I just met her daughter a few weeks ago, and the first meeting went really well. I do have some concerns about getting involved with the mom in the case that our relationship doesn't work out. If I'm to get close to the kid, and the relationship was to fall apart, it would be gut-wrenching to lose the kid. I am very much into my current girlfriend, but I'm not sure if she is the one or if it's a matter of timing and me realizing I'm not getting any younger, and I'd like to stop being the third or fifth wheel with my friends. So it may be possible I am trying to fit her into being the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. For the married peeps, how do you know you were with the right person? Did y'all have hesitation prior to asking or being asked to get married? When will I know if the time is right for me? For the unmarried people, are you opposed to dating someone with a child? What are you guys looking for in a partner that you have yet to find? That's a weird question. So that's a very odd question. Like, so Derek's the single guy here. Rudy would be with him, but he decided not to
help out.
Yeah, he decided to bounce on his bet with Derek and come through on buying him dinner. But that's an odd question. Like, what Derek's looking for in love? What would that have to do with you? But I don't know. Floor's yours, bud. What are you missing? What haven't you found? Why are you sad? Why are you alone?
Well, I'm putting on the spot right now, my man. Yeah. From what I'll tell you, man, don't let the kid fool you. Okay. Don't let that be a deterrent from you right there. Okay. People have their baggage, no matter what it comes in, and some of it's worse than a kid. Okay. Trust me out there. All right. Sometimes a kid is not that bad of a thing, and you don't make it a bad thing because the idea of it sounds like a lot. It's a hefty load. It's another big undertaking. It's another life you have to think about. But don't let that, if it's something you like, let that be the reason. Don't let the kid be the reason why you don't want this to be the person. But at the same point in time, don't pigeonhole this person into something just because you want that hole to be filled quickly. That's what she said. Now, that being said, have fun out there, enjoy it, and don't overthink it sometimes, you know?
Yep. I agree. I think we all tend to overthink relationships. Aaron, can you help our friend out as far as timing, or how did you know, anything you could share with them? Because you are married to Big Nate Daug.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, time will tell, and I hate to admit this, but Derek might have been right. Don't let the kid get in the way. Don't overthink it too much. Make sure, you know, he listed a lot of really great things that he liked about her. She works hard. These are like really great qualities that you want in a person. So maybe just don't force it so much, you know, and I don't know if there's any one thing where you're like, he's the one. But, you know, Nathan ended up being the one for me just because of so many good qualities that he has. And so, like, it was kind of like this build up over time. So maybe give it some time. But, yeah, don't overthink it too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of the general feedback you're going to get from here is don't overthink it. You know, enjoy this. Don't worry about things falling apart. You know, what if everything goes right? You know?
Yeah.
And what if she is the one for you? And if you get along with the daughter, you know, that could be a really cool and special relationship that you have with the kid, you know? So I would just say try and be open to these things, you know.
Did you say how old he was?
31.
31? Dude, sorry, man. Your pool's limited right now. If you got someone that's a babe that's got a kid, it's probably about as good as you're going to get, my man.
Yeah, it's going to be harder and harder to find any women that don't have some type of previous situation, whether it be a baby daddy, a divorce, whatever the case. Many of the women you're going to find that are single at your age do have children. And so if that's going to be your one hang-up, it's going to be, you know, that's going to be pretty tough.
I mean, she's already proven that she can take care of another life, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In general, I think, yeah, I think you guys have all kind of nailed it here. One piece of advice my gramps gave me that was really helpful when I decided to get married was, said, when I asked him about knowing about my grams, and they were married for 56 years, he said he just asked himself, could he see living his life without her? And when he said, when the answer came back, no, he knew that was the time. So, you know, I would give it some time. You know, if you're having fun, you guys are, you're still early on. I think he said 6 months. So certainly, don't sweat this too much. Let's get to the next one. Quick question for the group. I'll start with Aaron. Aaron, have you ever left a negative review for someone or some entity?
Ooh, I'm a bad person, but I have for sure done that.
Yeah. Can you give us an example?
Yeah, we went to Hawaii right after it opened from being closed for like 6 months from the Rona.
Yeah.
And we went to this establishment, and they were like, no, you can't come here because you're a tourist, and you haven't been here for 10 days. And so I left them a nasty review because I was like, well, you're... Governor said that we could come in, but you're just being nasty for no reason.
Yeah. Okay, so I get that.
People were a little power hungry back in the COVID times.
Yeah, say the least. Yeah. What about you guys? You guys ever leave a negative review?
No, I've just never gone back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, never written one down. I'll give people verbal ones. Like, the people who ask me, I'm like, yeah, don't go there. That place is terrible. But yeah, I've never gone and actually written one down for the most part. It's not usually...
I've only done them when I've been scammed. Back in the day when I was selling shoes, a couple times I made a purchase and it was knockoffs that they were trying to pass as real shoes. So it was more trying to look out for
people behind you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And not really trying to bring that person down as much as to give other people the heads up. So that's the question. Have you guys ever left a negative review? Yo, friends of TBP, love the show. I've been listening for the past 4 years. Mondays... Even when I miss the show, I'll check out the archives.
Man knows right now.
Yeah,
thank you.
Would love for y'all to bring back the pod. So here's my situation. I've been going to this local bar down the street from my house for about the past 2 years. Love the bar. Everyone there is great. The staff is attentive. I know almost all of them by name. They know me by name. I typically duck in there after a long day of work for a beer or two. And I'm a single guy, so I usually order food out. I know it's a bad habit. I'm looking to change this. But they do have a decent amount of healthy options. Well, good for you, bud.
Hey, man, just write it out, man. We get it.
Yeah, we don't care. Yeah, no, I don't care how you're eating. I hope you're happy.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
That's all that I care about.
Three hots and a cot, baby.
Over the past 2 years, I've had some awkward interactions with the owner. The owner, we'll call him Ted, is a bit of a jerk. He's kind of a go-hard. On different occasions, he's been short with me, snippy, and even one time kicked me out because he said me and my friends are being, in quotes, obnoxious. He's like, my confusion on that particular situation was, it's a bar. We had just got there. We had just taken our first drink. We were being a little loud because we were watching the game and we were cheering for the game, and he called us obnoxious and kicked us out. On other occasions, he's made it pretty well known to everyone that there's some issue with me. I'm not someone who has a lot of beefs with people, so I'm a little thrown off by this. I don't really know how I could have rubbed this guy the wrong way. I know the simple solution is just go to another bar. I think you guys have even had a question along these lines in the past. But the problem is, why should I go to another bar when this bar is down the street from my house and I love going to this bar? The owner is there pretty often, but it's sporadic, so it's not like he's on a schedule. The other odd thing about my particular situation is the owner's wife, who also works there mainly in the office but will do front of the house stuff from time to time, is a joy to be around. She's always nice to me, always smiling, always asking how I am. She'll remember the stories that I told her in the past, and she'll even ask for check follow-ups on those stories. So my question is, what do I do? I thought about just not going to this bar, but I really enjoy it, obviously. So I was thinking about writing a negative review anonymously focused on the owner. I'm wondering if you guys have all ever written a negative review. If so, I'd love to hear a story. I'm wondering if this is the right way to handle it or how you guys would handle it. I really don't want to stop going to this bar, but I would like for this guy to get off my back. I got to the point where I once brought a date in there, and when I got up to go to the bathroom, he mentioned to the date that she wasn't the first date I had brought in there. Which, to be fair, is true, but it's not like I bring different girls in there on a regular basis. I'm doing the online dating thing. Occasionally, I'll bring a girl there if we've gone on a couple dates. Thoughts, prayers, questions, concerns, anything to help me. You got anything for our guy?
Aaron? We love the petty. I say leave the bad review.
Yep. Yeah, I don't mind the anonymous bad review, especially if it's particular just to the owner and it's not necessarily hurting the business, because it seems like you love everything else about the business.
Yeah, that's one way to go about it. Honestly, another way to do it, you know, be direct with the guy. Ask him what's his problem with him, he has with you, because you know everybody else there. You're a good customer. You come in on a regular basis. You're obviously, hopefully, are tipping well to the people there, yep, and they like you. If he's the only one, I mean, maybe you could, when he's not there, find what the scoop is from the people that are working there. Like, yo, what's up with Doug or whatever the guy's name is? Like, why is he such a jerk to me? And see what that plan is. And if that, you know, you have a good idea, bring it up to the owner, Doug, and say whatever the guy's name is again. And just be like, yo, what's the problem, my man? Like, do you not want me to come to this bar right now? Because I like this bar. It's convenient for you. I understand convenience right there. It's a great thing to have.
Yeah.
A bar down the street that you know and like, that's a treasure. That's a treasure
to
have.
It's the best.
You can't get anything better than that.
You can. But
I mean, it's a great thing to have in your life.
Yes, having a local bar that is walkable, that you know everyone, they know you, they know your order when you walk in. It's a great feeling, and it's a nice luxury in life. I would say the other route, too, is maybe this guy is confrontational, if you call him, or non-confrontational, which would be even worse. And if you call him out, maybe you run the risk of upsetting him even more. You said his wife is really nice, and you see her. If you're close enough with her, perhaps say, hey, you know, it seems like your husband has a bit of an issue with me. I've tried to be nice to him, but he just doesn't seem interested. I was going to mention this to him and just see if we could bury the hatchet, or maybe we got off to the wrong on the wrong foot. Maybe we could start over. What do you think? Or how would you approach that if you were me?
Yeah, try to make sure you maintain a good relationship with the bar. So maybe the review is the last thing you have to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, see, try to find a little inside scoop, do a little Hardy Boy digging, and see what the deal is, and go from there. Because there's, you know, maybe he's just like that to everyone, and he just, you know, hates his job and hates his life, and you just happen to be the victim of his tirades, and it's nothing personal.
Very, very, very possible.
Because that's very much out there. People are just, you know, life can be tough, right? Yep. Life's not easy, and to expect, you know, cheese and crackers and daisies and flowers everywhere you go is a little bit foolhardy on your part. So, Do a little digging.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Aaron, you got anything for the people on your way out?
No, we need a follow-up on that one for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
yeah,
we would like a follow-up. Yeah, let us know what route you go there. Aaron, excellent as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Later, guys.
Have a good one.
All right. Let's do a North State update and then try to squeeze in the rest of the show.
Yes. He's got facts. He's got stats.
and his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
There's ways to end a season, and unfortunately for softball, this was not one of them. They had a chance to possibly squeak in. They had to come in and sweep Cal State San Marcos, and that did not happen. Unfortunately, they lost five straight games, last four with Cal State San Marcos to end the season, and that will end their season, and that will end softball for the remainder of the year. So the Wildcats end this season 13-29. And 12-24 in conference. So, I want to say good season. Chico State, hopefully next year is a little bit better and starts off a little bit better as well for you guys. So, I hope you guys enjoy off season and come back strong next year. But for the playoffs starting this weekend, Sonoma State got that number one seed. Cal State San Marcos got number two. Dominguez Hills will play San Francisco State, a 3-6 matchup, and a 4-5 matchup, Cal State San Bernardino versus Cal State East Bay. Now going to baseball, a little bit different of a story. They have one more series left. Unfortunately, they lost three out of the four, three straight against Cal State East Bay at Cal State East Bay in Hayward. They're going to be coming home against Sonoma State. They have a chance to get that number four spot right now. Number three is pretty out of reach. It would actually, looking at it now, doing math on air, they will not have that number three spot. They have a chance though at number four, as San Francisco State is 19-17 and Chico State is 18-17. So it looks like they would have to sweep Sonoma State, which is also right behind them and could jump them if this series goes lopsided. So again, this is a huge series for them as rivals ending the season off, and the week after that will be CCAA championships, May 8th Wednesday through May 11th on Saturday, and then hopefully Chico State can get that that dub and head into the NCAA regionals to make it to the World Series. And that is my North State update.
Thank you very much, sir. Excellent work, my friend. And in general, good job on the North State updates for the past few years, dude. It's obviously we're a local show, and so to be able to cover local sports is really important. What do you want to do? You want to talk baseball? You want to talk football?
I guess we could talk some football, man.
Let's do it. Do you want the whole drop, or you just want to let it roll?
Get the drop going, man. Okay. Let the people hear it, man. They deserve to hear it.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
We shall not be moved. That is right. Everton stays up, solidifying their spot in, once again in the Premier League.
Congrats.
As we finally have a week of sheer delightment, of goal scoring, of 3 points ecstasy. That is right. Three wins in a week right now secured Everton's spot in the Premier League for next season, in making sure the bottom three does not contain the mighty Toffees. A big, big week in general right now. Yes, I was over there for one of those, witnessing Tottenham 9-4s go down in 2-0 in spectacular fashion, and it was a atmosphere to remember, one that I'm happy to be a part of. Wish I was there in the next game because they took on Liverpool, the Merseyside Derby, the last one that will be held at Goodison Park, and they put on a show for the ages. The first Merseyside Derby win in Goodison Park in 14 years. The last time they did it, Mikel Arteta was playing for us back then. But no, we took down Liverpool 2-0 as Liverpool's title hopes of winning the league come crashing down in spectacular fashion. It's going to be interesting to see because right now they have a documentary team following them for Netflix on this season. And seeing them collapse right now is going to be tasty. Cannot wait for that one to come out, because I always say tears over cheers whenever I'm watching a sports documentary, every single time right now. And that we're going to see a good one if that is the case when we see what happens between Salah and Jurgen Klopp in his final season. That being said, the Premier League does roll on, and it looks like Arsenal and Man City comes down to those two. Man City does have a game in hand, but they are a point behind Arsenal. But with that game in hand, obviously, they can jump ahead. So it's going to make these last three games, four for Man City, one to watch out for. Big one to come up, though. Man City has to take on Tottenham, and that is going to be probably the biggest hurdle Man City has to jump over, secure another premiership, and that will be at the London Stadium, too. So an away feature for Man City.